So are you enjoying this beautiful Arizona weather? I'm telling you, this is why we're here, right? Well, not the only reason. It's a good one though, isn't it? The weather, it's amazing that summer's like over. It's like this crazy reality to get through summer and to enter into this cooler weather. You can walk out on your front porch and back porch or whatever and just enjoy the morning. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I have been, for some time now, we've been talking about renewal. And I want to continue with that with another dimension of that or another application of that. But firstly, I want to share this concept of this idea. Every 40 years, some of you might know this, but every 40 years, there's a particular plant that is, it's more in a tropical region, but it's the largest flower in the world. The largest flower in the world. Get a hold of this thing. It's massive in size. Extremely tall. Like you're about, 10, 12, 15 foot tall and larger, but massive, huge. And every 40 years, this thing blooms. I mean, just blah, blooms. There's a couple of things about that bloom, though. When it blooms, it smells rancid. Absolutely horrible because it's been containing all of this stuff. We'll just call it stuff. This stuff for 40 years in its development, and then in a short period of time, it completely opens up. That plant recently did that within the last 10 years, of course, maybe 7 years or so, but in Veracruz is where the last the bloom that I read about and discovered was in Veracruz, this massive plant. You know what it's called? It's called the corpse flower. That's kind of like the concept of even a blind squirrel can find a nut. Wait for it. No, it didn't work. All right, sorry. Corpse flower. Usually a corpse isn't going to produce much, right? And when you think about that, but something that's dead, the key is something that's dead, Christ brings to life. There is this dimension and this idea that I want to communicate about personal wholeness in Christ. When we find renewal, it's the process and the journey unto personal wholeness. What do I mean by wholeness? I'm talking about being complete in Christ and lacking in nothing. So when we get saved, we get, of course, born again, we're saved, and we get regenerated. Our spirit man is made new. Then the Holy Spirit has right liberty, accessibility, and brings us through a process which we call renewal, through this day by day. So this process of renewal, as we grow in wholeness, as we find maturity in Christ, starts at and is initiated at salvation through a regeneration process, and then we move on through life through a renewal process. Thinking about that, there is this last summer I became familiar with a number of people who would decide to go hiking, and they would go off in the mountains or whatever and not bring an adequate amount of water supply. And as you know, hiking here in Arizona for a long period of time or even a short period of time without an adequate water supply and without being adequately prepared is quite dangerous, right? I mean, could be even, it's life-threatening, of course, but we're talking grave danger. Grave danger? Yeah, grave danger. Just checking. I'm not even going to explain. If you don't get it, forget y'all. Could be absolutely dangerous, right? So there's these folks that have been headed out to the desert or whatnot, and then they find themselves lost. They find themselves desperate for water, can't find. Then they need to be rescued, if that's even possible. But what happens at a certain point of that process of dehydration is you come to a point where if you're really thirsty, you go without water for a while, you just want to drink a bunch of water and take that in. But there comes a point where you've gone so long without water, there's an inability to take it in through your mouth. There's an inability to drink it and find any kind of refreshment or renewal for it to do any its job in your body. because something got closed off. Something is shut down because of this dehydration process. That's the part in the process we want to be avoiding and staying away from, right? You need, at that point, there needs to be some medical care. There needs to be an IV or something like that would allow us to begin to be hydrated again. See, there's this thing in personal wholeness is the necessity. The necessity, and this is the point and the major objective I want to communicate today. The necessity of the need to be able to know how to receive from Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes, we don't want to be in a condition where we don't know how to receive from the Lord. And sometimes it's a spot in our life where we've received Christ and we've encountered the gospel and we're in love with Jesus, or we have this appetite for him. We want to grow, we want to learn, we want to develop, but there sometimes is a hindrance to achieving or to receiving that which God has called us into, that which is your spiritual birthright to have. It gets missed or unable to receive fully. So personal wholeness in Christ is something that we're absolutely looking for. We want to be saturated or satiated, if you will. I shared some time ago, I had a dream about my diet, the Lord challenging me to eat certain foods that I don't like. And it really has just gotten my head, to be honest with you. And so I've been literally experimenting with my nutrition. And I've been trying to eat better and eat things that I don't eat. Really, here, honestly, I've had to grow up in many ways because I ate like a juvenile. You know what I mean? I ate like a kid for the most part. I only ate what I thought I liked and would exodus the rest. Or sometimes Brenda and I would get into a fuss because she would want to experiment with some other weird vegetable or something. And I was like, nah, I'm not interested in it. That's not in my authorized food list. But you know, Cheez-Its, Wheat Thins, Doritos, that's my authorized food list, or was. But I'm being a bit facetious, but this thing of being satiated, being full, being complete, and part of this journey that I've been on, even with my nutrition, it's really been about that dynamic. See, you could be full, meaning you can have plenty of calories in your body. You're not starving. You feel good. You can function fine, but there is sometimes, you know, come about 9 o'clock at night, you've already got over 2,000 calories in you, but here comes an itch. Pretty soon you're headed to the kitchen, right? Start going through, and I just feel ravenous. I just want to destroy lunch meat and whipped cream and ice cream and all kinds of stuff, but I've had plenty of calories already throughout the day. You know what I mean? What is that? It's the desire to be full. And spiritually, we've got the same thing in us, in our spirit. As we've received Christ, there's a necessity to find fullness and to find wholeness and to find completion in Christ. It's this desire to do that. It's this desire to have a full measure, to be encountering of the Holy Spirit. And I want to communicate to you this, that it's absolutely possible for every single person in this room to find a place of satisfaction in Christ. It's absolutely possible. You don't have to miss out on anything because of what you've done, or because of what you've not done, or because of what you've accomplished at this point. I should have accomplished a lot more, maybe some of you say. Got all these regrets and all of that. I want you to know that because of Christ and this equation of wholeness in Christ, we can have wholeness and completion through this process that Jesus gives us. Being born again, and then unto this process of renewal. So it's learning how to receive of the Holy Spirit, learning how to get a hold of what God's doing in the moment. So consider, consider a few things. When we got saved, most of us, all of us, brought into our Christianity some broken parts, some defective identity of some sort. We bring this identity to Christ. We get saved. We encounter God. He's in us, but yet all of that, or whatever that was, is, has been, is currently, is defective. And that process over time is what the Holy Spirit renews us in, getting a hold of wholeness and finding fullness. But we have this broken area life that we bring with us when we get saved. It doesn't just go away. A few weeks ago, I gave the analogy of this idea after I got saved. I had this idea that I was all better. You know what I mean? When I got saved, I had this idea that I was just all better. And part of that is true, isn't it? When we get saved, he's our life now. He's the solution. Jesus is the answer. When we get saved, that's it. But if we don't fully comprehend the process of renewal day by day, and this allowance of maturity, in this process of maturity, that corpse plant will never come to fruition after 40 years. There's a time and a process where we absolutely bloom, just like in the prophetic picture here. There's a place that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is calling you to bloom. Calling you to bloom. Wants every one of you to bloom. What does that mean? I mean, finding fullness in Christ, finding that place in Jesus, the destiny that God's called you to in your life, being able to achieve that wholeness. What do I mean by wholeness? It's obviously the idea of being complete in Him, being satiated, being satisfied, being complete in Him, where you're not looking after midnight, or after some point you're tearing apart the house looking for some carbohydrates because you're nuts. You know what I mean? When that's not on the table, when you're satisfied. Something, just a little side note, one of the things I've been doing, I said I've been experimenting. I tried for a number of months to eat six times a day, like all of the nutritionists say. If you eat small meals a day, your metabolism can stay burning. It's like throwing a stick of wood in the fire and keep your metabolism, and then you develop this metabolic reality in your life, and you start losing weight and burning fat and all that stuff. It works, I'm sure it does, but I ain't eating six times a day. I've tried that, carrying around a little ice chest with me everywhere I go. Sit down and open up, eat my carrot. Nonsense. I can't do it. Some of you can, and that's cool. A lot of people do it and very successful. Did you know there's about a million kinds of programs out there for weight loss? Did I say million or billion? You know, everybody's got a program and an idea, so I'm not trying to sell you a new idea by any means, and I'm not trying to sell anything. Just communicating this thing. I like to eat big, massive meals. I do. And I kill it at lunch. I'm absolutely slaying the kitchen. Several chicken breasts. I'm not kidding. I'll eat this massive meal, and then the dilemma is when I get back to work, you know? I'm all comatose because I've ate too much protein. But I'm not kidding. I try to eat massive meals, and I eat just a couple of them. So at 9 o'clock at night, no thanks. I'm full. Those trigger points for me don't happen. They haven't happened. But I've found this strategy for myself that works, where I could stay at a place of being satiated, or I could stay at a place of being full. I want to impart to you today a vision, a desire for staying full in the Holy Spirit. I want to communicate to you this not only idea or ideology. I want to challenge you. I want to call you. I want to impart to you this desire to stay full, not this thing of trying to keep up, but a place in Christ where you can stay full. And you stay full by learning how to receive of the Holy Spirit over and over again. So wholeness, what do I mean? It's really the ability to fully give and to fully receive from Christ. It's this thing of wholeness is this idea where your personal search for significance and your personal attempt to find completion is right here in Christ that's in you. It's not about trying to find an identity in anything else. It's not trying to find satisfaction in some new program. It's not trying to find anything anywhere else in finances and relationships. All of that, it's nothing in that. It's in this place in Christ in you. You can carry that around with you. It's not determined by your circumstances. It's not determined by your status. It's not determined by your age or your height or anything of that nature. It's determined by that place in Christ in you. So it's so imperative we find relationship with Jesus Christ and begin to cultivate that over and over again. Wholeness kind of, it looks something like this, where you're content and you're pleased with who you are. Instead of every time you turn around, you make a mistake, you begin to beat yourself up and say, I could have done that better. I should have done that better. I'm the king of that. I'm the king of that stuff. I have so much, so often beat myself down because I didn't accomplish what I think I ought to have accomplished or I should have accomplished at those times. And you know what? Let me tell you this, in case you're wondering, that doesn't work. You can't motivate yourself to become mature through negative criticism. You can't do it. I've tried and I still give it a shot every now and then. It's never worked for me to beat myself up, to say I'm worthless, to try to motivate me. I've done that kind of stuff. And I think many people do that. Try to find some kind of life by giving loyalty to the actual thing that's your rivalry. Being loyal to the wrong things and then thinking that those things are going to produce life. But what produces life is Christ in you. That rock that we sung about this morning, that's the resurrection of Christ. Because Christ raised from the dead, if we can relate to Him and begin to cultivate life with Him, what begins to happen is we begin to be firmly planted in that rock. You ever gone to the beach and you just grind your feet down into the sand? How stable that is, you know? You want to grind your feet right into that rock right there and hang on to that. That's where we begin to find life and to find growth. That place of wholeness, it comes from where we're not unreasonably intimidated by anyone or anything, but to be able to do what you're supposed to be doing without fear of rejection, without fear of performance or not doing it right. There was a study that was done by a guy named Tom Wujek, cool name. Tom Wujek, he did this experiment. It's called the marshmallow experiment. And he got dozens of different groups of people. And he would have them, they'd have 26 sticks of spaghetti. They'd have 1 yard of string. They'd have 1 yard of tape. And they would have one marshmallow. And the objective was to make the tallest tower you could, the highest, tallest structure within 15 minutes. And they took it to MIT students, lawyers, groups of doctors, and they would all do this. And, you know, they of course, they would get together, the biggest and the brightest minds and the biggest personality in the room would organize everything and make a plan and use all their resources and all this kind of stuff. And they would get done, and Tom would step up and say, you know, good job, you got... On the average, you're about 18, 22 inches tall. But I want you to know you failed compared to another group. And he would go to the next group, and they would do, you know, 20 to 22 inches in height. Average, everybody did about 20 to 22 inches in height for this spaghetti structure with the marshmallow seated on the top of this spaghetti pile. Kind of a cool, interesting experiment. And then people would be intrigued by what's happening. Why? Who's the group that did it? It must be NASA, or it must be some really smart think tanks, or something like that that has money and resource to get all this figured out. And who? Guess who it was? It was a group of kindergartners. Every single time, this group of kindergartners would crush it. 26 inches in average, groups of kindergartners would make that happen. Now, why? Why would that be the case? Why would that be the case? They show up and they were unorganized. They didn't have much of a plan. But here's the thing. They weren't intimidated by anything. And they were willing to fail over and over again. See, some of these other students that would try, these business students, they would plan and they would argue and they would fuss and they would try to figure out who's in charge, and they would some of them would, you know, start to really fuss, and you know, the biggest personality in the room would demand the leadership, and we can't move without order, and all of this kind of stuff, which is absolutely necessary for sure at times. But while they were doing all of that, these kindergartners were just going to work. Hey, try this, try that. They weren't intimidated by each other. They weren't competing for a position. They weren't doing anything. They were having a blast just building all of this stuff, and overall an average 26 inches. Why is that important? If you're intimidated, and if you're not willing to take risk, and you're worried about what other people are thinking over and over again, you're not going to achieve what God's called you to do. How you get out of that is finding your freedom in Christ, finding liberty in Jesus Christ, and not being intimidated by others and those around you, and performance, even performance against yourself. Wholeness is the ability to get beyond that kind of stuff. Matthew chapter 22, 37, it says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." John 10:10 says this. Wait, don't tell me. "The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have abundant life." Wholeness is this. Matthew 22, 37 says, "Not to love the Lord your God with all your heart." That's in effect, that's giving everything you have. To love the Lord with everything you've got. It's the ability to give. It's this idea of investment. It's this idea of pouring into someone. Pouring into the Lord, of course. Pouring in and giving everything you've got, and do everything you can to invest your best all the time, the best you can. It's striving towards giving of yourself. John 10:10 says, "But the thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life." The opposite effect of that first scripture, this one, is the ability to receive. Wholeness is based and fundamentally on those two things. The ability to fully give without any hindrances, without any blockages, without any trouble, without any inabilities because of fear, performance, intimidation, or whatever. And then the other side is to be able to fully receive from Christ. Wholeness is made up of those two dynamics, to be able to fully give and to be able to fully receive. And everyone here has that ability, has that opportunity because of Christ. Nobody here that has received Christ is void of that opportunity to achieve wholeness. You're not stuck because of what you've done. You're not stuck because you've always been stuck. You're not stuck because you've got some pattern of sin or some issue that Christ isn't big enough to bring freedom to you. Every single person in this room has the opportunity to find Jesus right in the middle of that rock, and to find resurrection life right in the center of that reality. Every single one of us. It's about finding that place in Jesus where you're safe, where you know that you could step out of yourself and find fullness. So if that's the case, then why are there so many Christians that remain broken? You hear about it over and over again. If we've received Christ and this is all true, Doug, then why is there this continuance of struggle and difficulty and brokenness? Why does that continue to exist? There's a few reasons that I've considered here, and I want to share with you. Is because the first thing is they've not truly found their identity in Christ. And as a result, when the Holy Spirit moves, we resist at times because of our fundamental desire to exit trouble and to find, looking for what we would call peace. And oftentimes, peace is on the other side of the adversity that we're avoiding. You know what I mean? So we lack discernment and the ability to see what God's doing, because we have a paradigm that I'm all fixed, and that must be the devil. This problem must be the devil. And the Lord's going, no. It's me looking to bring you to a place of fullness. Just embrace it. Just embrace what I'm doing. Embrace this reality. Find the Spirit, and no matter what you're doing and no matter where you're at, learn to understand what the Lord's calling you to. And ultimately, His objective is that you and I would grow up and we would find Christ at a fuller measure and a full and a complete measure. Another thought is this. We've brought into our relationship cultural ideas, cultural ideologies, cultural appetites, things that are around us that we become loyal to. We're loyal to the wrong things at times. We become loyal to our rivalries instead of rejecting those things, like Paul talks about in Philippians, in the first chapter there. He was saying, some people, because of my imprisonment, have received the gospel. And they got a hold of Christ, and they've learned to trust Jesus because of that. And that's a good thing. And then he says, but there's others that are preaching Jesus because of envy and strife. And there's others of goodwill. And he's saying those, he's differentiating the three from there. But some people have become loyal to Christ, not because of Christ and who He is and because of the rock of resurrection, but because of some other agenda. And Paul is saying in Philippians, let's not be loyal to that which is rival to your wholeness and to your fullness. And to even break that down further, some of us have been so faithful to performance issues, you know, or so faithful to intimidation. I can't do that because I've never done that before. I can't receive because I've never received like that before. I can't accomplish that because that's just not how I roll. I'm shy. I don't have the ability to do that kind of stuff. None of us do. Our abilities aren't it. It's our position in Christ. It's our ability, if you will, to position ourselves to relate to the Lord Jesus Christ and to get a hold of what He's calling us into, a place of wholeness, a place of liberty, and a place of freedom that He's calling us to. But here's the thing. The good news is this. The good news is this, is that the Holy Spirit is our resource for finding wholeness and finding fullness. And first, in Philippians, let me read this to you. Philippians chapter 1, 9 through 11. And he says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. See, the Holy Spirit uses a twofold process to bring us to a place of wholeness. The first thing is real and genuine relationships. Real and genuine relationships, authentic reality. And 1 John chapter 4 communicates, how can you relate to God who you can't see if you can't relate to your brothers and your sisters who you can see? Relationships, being vulnerable with one another and finding life in Christ, we learn how to relate to God by the circumstances, relationships, things that are surrounding us. That concept right here, that your love may abound. What he's communicating is that you would find wholeness, that you would find that place of fullness. If you look up that word abound, you'll find that it's very similar to a bloom, to fully blooming. Paul's saying, I pray that you would completely bloom right where you're at, that you would find life and that you would come to a fullness that I've called you to. More and more that your life would reveal Jesus Christ. More and more that you would grow in all, in real knowledge and all discernment. Real knowledge, it's kind of like this. In finality here, real knowledge is this. If I want to be able to speak into your life, by the Spirit, if I want to give you something quality that might even be effective, it might even be difficult for you to swallow, but I want to give you something. In order to be at that place, to have that opportunity, I need to be able to invest in what God's doing in your life. to love and to care and to serve and to be at that place, to give fully. Real knowledge, what he's talking about is this word epinosko. Epinosko, which is this. It's to be completely and fully aware of everything about this situation, this person, this individual. Not just have a head knowledge, but to be fully aware of everything going on with this person, individual, this thing. Of having a sense of reality of the Spirit and what God's doing. When you begin to love somebody, and you begin to serve somebody, and you begin to give yourself to somebody by means of the Holy Spirit, what begins to happen is the Lord begins to speak to you about that situation, about that person. Because the Lord's agenda can come to us when there's freedom and liberty in that to do so. Discernment follows real knowledge in this verse here, that you would have all knowledge, that you have real knowledge and all discernment. Real knowledge as a result of being able to give fully, invest fully. To be able to receive all discernment is the ability to receive from that which has been given to you because you've been investing. Wholeness comes as a result of us investing into what Christ has called us into. And as we do that, we'll find that it'll be poured back out on us and we can receive from what God has called us to do. Twofold purpose, that we would cultivate real relationship. And the second thing is this, is that we would learn how to fully receive from the Holy Spirit. Being able to position ourselves when He shows up and in life and whatever we're doing, that we would receive from what the Holy Spirit is doing with us in those moments. That we wouldn't miss a thing. That we would be fully aware of what God's doing. And not resistant because it doesn't match our appetite. Not resistant because we don't think that's what we ought to do or whatnot. But to be able to encounter Christ in fullness, that we might receive completion and wholeness. Let's stand, can we? I want to simply invite you to three things here. First one is this. I want to invite you to a place to activate wholeness in Christ. Invite you to a place to activate wholeness in Christ. If you're here this morning and you're communicating, I want to engage in this process. I want to ask you to respond to that by moving forward. The second thing is this, that you would simply come and receive. Just come and receive what the Lord's doing with you and what He wants to do with you. But if you want to engage, just come on. If you want to encounter the Spirit, just come on. If you want to encounter wholeness, just come on. Holy Spirit, would you come and just release your power here? This might be new for some of you, but how we receive is you just simply respond as you are. You position your heart simply. You position yourself. You clear your mind. Not thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch next. You clear your thoughts. You pray something very simple. Lord, come to me. I want to receive. And you wait for Him. Holy Spirit, come now and release your power right here, that wholeness might be activated. Come, Lord. Let your Spirit come. Let your Spirit come. Thank you, Father. Just receive.